Hello and welcome to Gravitas Wins Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jude. Companies like Zomato and Ubers have given rise to gig economy. Gig workers have a lot of flexibility. They can choose the type of work, hours of work, but they lack the benefits that the full-time employees get. Can we marry the flexibility with benefits? And my guest asked today, why not? Let's find out. Before we get into the interview, can I request you to subscribe to the podcast, write a review, and share the podcast with your fellow business leaders. Hello, Benji. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Good. Good to see you, Benji. Let's start with this. What is the problem you're solving? And can you share how you discovered that particular problem?
I think when you introduced the podcast, you know, you mentioned this really good thing about the rise in gig economy, the flexibility that it offers. And now we are in this new age of work. The very definition of work has significantly changed post pandemic. Mm-hmm. People have realized that they can work for anyone, they can work from anywhere, and they can work at any time. All they need is a laptop and a skill to provide. And now, technically, they are a gig worker. Now, with all that flexibility that is right now there across the spectrum, whether you are a delivery driver or you're a freelancer or a software developer or a fractional, all that is there, that new style of work now brings with new challenges. And one of the challenges that is traditionally, if you are working for someone, you get what it is called as a job security. Take care of you, they pay you a fixed salary, or you know, and they give you some work benefits. And that benefits includes, you know, you might have an insurance, you know, you might have a PF, a gratuity, or in some countries like Australia, you've got superannuation. You can take leave if you're sick or if your family member is sick, you can take leave, you can go for a vacation. You got additional perks if you're working for an office, a free coffee station, things like that. But now you don't have an employer. You are the employer and mm-hmm. you are your own boss. And with now you can earn any money you want. You can call your shots. You could charge a little less like $10 to all the way $10,000. There is no one to stop you from being as flexible, as autonomous you wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. But since you don't have an employer and you are doing this on your own, all the things that you would normally get from a traditional employment, you miss out. And you have to now create an environment where you still need those benefits or you still need that security in a way, because that is something that you innately need as a human being, to have something safe, something certain, something stable. And that's the unique problem that we wanted to solve, is how can we help self-employed people create employee-like benefits because they don't have one in the first place.
Okay, but how did you discover this particular problem? And is there some kind of, you experienced it or you talked about it? How did you discover this?
I actually worked across the spectrum of the gig itself. Now, just a little bit of down the memory lane. I came to Australia as an international student, and that was 8 years ago. And not to surprise many migrants like me and students like me who come here, end up doing lots of odd jobs. You know, work in coffee stations and you know Domino's pizzas. Or I was no different. When I came here, even though I had experience, I had to work in a number of different odd jobs. I did food delivery for a while, rideshare for a while. I used to fix IKEA furnitures for a while at a cost, and then I also did freelancing gigs. I was to freelance with others. But then there was concept of gig economy was not so popular, but it was already there. It was growing faster and it was expanding. My lived experience of being there made me understand that, one, I could really see how fast the space was growing. Mm-hmm. But B, as someone young who got access into the new format of work, had no clue of how this would impact me financially, either it's by taxes or understanding what my income and expenses are and whether I'm really earning money or not. Will I even make a career out of it? Or can I even survive off this as a livelihood? That lived experience after many years, when I was kind of finishing off my other startup, I was selling it and exiting that startup. And that was in the middle of COVID. And COVID kind of spotlighted gig economy in a big way. And government started looking at it. Us as individuals started using a lot of delivery services and gig services more. At that point in me, I saw like, I have been there. My team has been there. We have seen the problem. We have experienced the problem ourselves. And we really know what the emotional driver behind people doing this. I think we should be able to solve this. And funny enough that we actually did not intend to start a fintech. It was not in our plan. Our plan was, we will go and genuinely assess the problem by talking to gig workers. And then we would figure out how we would solve it. So it was just very problem-focused conversation. It's now interesting to see that the journey that we have had has ended up into a fintech company, which my first pitch deck was not at all a fintech company.
Okay, so from that onwards, like you started observing this particular problem, you talked to the gig workers, you understood the problem. Can you walk me through the stages or your journey from that to launching this fintech product, which you didn't aim to launch, so to speak? Can you walk me through the journey, please?
So a little bit of a story, right? So in Australia, in 2020, for those who are listening to this episode, there was a few road fatalities where food delivery drivers unfortunately passed away. It was happening in the middle of COVID. The government started like, who are these people? How can we support them? Are they employees or contractors? Or how do we even define them? They're a bit like an unknown new workforce that is there, and we don't know who they are. And then the government set a challenge. The Victorian government set a challenge. And the challenge statement was, how do we improve the safety of these gig workers? That's when we jumped on that challenge and we said, you know what, I think we can help. And my previous company was also a safety company. So we're like, oh, we know safety, we know these people, we could go solve it. And over a span of 3 months, we ended up talking to over 10,000 gig workers across Australia. And what we found was, yes, safety is important, but they have a bigger problem than safety. And the guy who's actually delivering your pizza in the cold winter, yes, he wants to be safe, but on top of that, there is actually a financial drive for him to do it. And we wanted to unpack that more, because it seems like that's a bigger and more important problem and a challenge for the gig worker than the safety element in it. And that led us to actually looking at financial security for gig workers. And what happened was, at the end of this research, we came back to the government and said, we are changing the problem statement. As in, we're not going to solve this problem. We're going to solve another problem. But we are confident by solving that problem, the safety problem will also get solved. And we, in 2021, we started MyGigsters, and it was just a community. Oh, it's a Facebook group. We invited other rideshare delivery drivers, whoever we could find, come and join and have a real open conversation about what is happening. That eventually grew into thousands of members across, you know, our community channels, newsletters, podcast, and everything. And using the community as our initial group, we then built an MVP the same year. But we've only targeted rideshare and delivery drivers at the early on, just to focus on their needs. And our 2021 was our end of 2021. We launched our first MVP for anyone who is into rideshare and delivery drivers. Quickly, that same Christmas that year, we found out that there were lots of other gig workers who also want their problem to be solved. We have dog walkers, pet sitters, musicians, massage therapists, actors, you know, influencers. The list kept on growing. We were like, okay, so it's, we can't just be driver specific anymore. We got to invite others into the community. So 2022, we opened the community to others. And now at this point, we can't have one solution solving one person's problem. We got to figure out what we need to solve for everybody. And that was the pivot for us to go and solve a larger gig workforce needs.
Okay.
Fast forward, that is brought to today where we are. And we serve a lot of types of gig workers in helping them with their financial services and accessing employee-like benefits.
Okay, so you talked about benefits. So let's talk about what are the benefits that you are talking about. Is it you already talked about PF, you already talked about some of the leaves, and then some, you know, free coffee that you talked about. So what are the benefits that we are talking about when you are talking about benefits?
I think it's open. It's an open statement, actually. What we are encouraging self-employed people is to think about how they wanted to create or structure their lifestyle as a self-employed freelancer or independent contractor. Some of the basics ones are, you know, I keep asking this question to many freelancers. You're waking up tomorrow in the morning and you wanted to take a day off. Normally, you would go into your HR system, find out your leave balance, and you message your boss and say, I'm not coming today, right? And you'll apply your leave. But if you're a self-employed, what would you do? 90% of freelancers don't even take a break because they are in the guilt that they will lose potential earning income. Not even actual earning. Potential. What if somebody wants me today and I'm not there? But what if the world exists where you actually have leave? You can create your own leave. Create 5 days of leave. Go to Bali for 2 days, you know, and spend more time with your family. And allowing that to happen is what we wanted to call it as employee benefits. It doesn't need to be one benefit. At the moment, we are encouraging our freelancers to create leave, encouraging them to create a rainy day fund, encouraging them to create parts of money that will potentially be taxes for them, so they can keep their taxes aside so that when the taxes are due, they can pay or they're ready to pay. They could keep some money aside and contribute into a retirement kind of product, you know. A 401k or superannuation or some kind of product. So yeah, so you literally can create any benefit of their choice and be able to contribute to that benefit as a personal payroll.
So Benji, when I listen to you, there's a lot of tangents that I want to take, especially how you built this particular startup. You started with the community, you went and talked to people, you started with a hypothesis, but then the hypothesis changed, and then you iterated, and then now you are here. So I think that's the best way to launch a product. Okay, if I'm a gigster, how does this work? Do I come and sign up? Is there a set of benefits that I can select? How does it work? Walk me through the onboarding process of a gigster.
So we actually are more B2B. So you could come through a partner platform and you could opt in for benefits via your partner gig platform. Let's say you're working for Zomato and you could say, I also opt in for benefits, and it's embedded within the Zomato platform itself for them, for you to see your benefits, and it is embedded there. You could still directly come to my Kickstarter. There's a direct channel where you could come download the app and be able to, the ability for you to create a bucket of some sort, and then you can say, okay, this is my leave bucket and I want 5 days of leave. The system is smart enough to look at your income and expenses and tell you how much you should be able to create leave. So it does the math for you. And whenever you earn money, it almost behaves like a payroll system. Parks set aside a percentage of your income into that small bucket. And whenever it has reached a milestone, it will let you know you got 1 day of leave, 2 days of leave. So you can also directly access that. So either through our partners, which we are partnering with a number of different gig platforms as an opt-in, Or you can directly come to my Geekstairs, you can download and also use it.
So can you talk to me about the response? What has been the response? You said there are two avenues that people can come in, one via the partners or one via the direct channels. Again, give me some size. How many people are there? How many partners are there? Or how many people via the partners are there? Can you give me some sense of what has been the response?
So before the employee-like management or the employee-like benefit system, you know, we have a core system in Australia which does automatic tax lodgement or automatic tax deduction. The way it works is, you know, based on your type of gig, let's say, Joseph, you're a magician, it will know that you're a magician. It'll automatically identify potential deductions for you from your transaction history, and then it will give you a position of tax, GST, if you're applicable to GST. It will be helping you to track your income and expenses, like a bookkeeping, but done automatically. We actually give this to accountants for them to service their customers, and we also connect accountants with the gig workers. So that core system we have is already being used by over 6,000 gig workers across Australia. We're only in Australia at this stage, and we wanted to establish fully before we go out. The employee-like management system, we have done multiple, you know, integrations with gig platforms here in Australia, where their drivers or their gig workers are benefited from employee-like benefits. Australia in its entity itself is, compared to India, is a smaller market. You know, in India, you got at least, you know, a couple of million gig workers. In Australia, you only have less than 200,000 gig workers. So it's a different size, and as a result, it also have a different pain point at some places. This year, we have decided to, you know, take this global. We've decided to connect with other partners across the shores and then be able to provide this value across different geographies.
I definitely want to touch upon your future plans of expanding into the other geographies. But before that, what are some of the challenges that you are facing? Especially, I'm interested on the regulatory aspect of it, because there is, as you rightly said, there is still a contention about how do you define employment, or these contractors, or these employees, and across the world, California, there is a lot of debate about this particular thing. Even in India, this is happening. So what are the challenges that you are facing, especially with respect to regulatory aspects?
Yeah, the good position that we, at least we are fortunate, is we are in a very neutral position. You know, my Geekstairs have been fortunate to work directly with government regulators. We work with a number of different state regulators. We work with a lot of different gig platforms, you know, be it delivery or, you know, we work with film crew matching platforms. We work with nursing matching platforms, rideshare and delivery, and we cover a lot of these platforms within this. But hearing, you know, what's happening across the space, yes, first challenge is how do you define and regulate gig economy? Across the world, it's a challenge. Governments are trying to unpack this in different forms. You know, in the UK, they've got some legislation. US, parts of US have got some legislation. It is still an ongoing evaluation of what this could mean in a regulatory sense. And then the next bit is, within gig economy, there is what we call as people with low bargaining power and people with high bargaining power. You could be a freelancer working for Upwork, right? And where your bargaining power is more. You could say how much ever you want to charge. And if they're happy, you work with the client and the client will deliver. But if you're working, if you're delivering for, like if you're doing Ola, for example, you don't have any bargaining power. You either can accept or reject the delivery. Now that brings another complexity, is who do you protect? You know, now, person has more bargaining power, looks to seem have more flexibility, autonomy. A person less bargaining power has a restriction in how they could actually navigate the gig economy. So this is an ongoing space. You know, we don't know many things that's you know, could or couldn't happen. But on the other side, is fintech in itself is a regulatory thing, especially when you're handling money or handling financial data. You know, governments like India and Australia have very strong regulatory compliance. to go through. It's expensive, it's highly compliance driven, highly license driven. So I'm merging, it looks like I've got two challenges in one. So for me too, those are the key aspects of MyGigs challenges. One, the regulatory definition of it, and two, how to build a scalable fintech product that is both compliant and also regulatory ready.
Okay. Given these kinds of different regulatory aspects in different geographies, I'm sure Quebec has a different regulatory framework than the UK and the US, and India has a different framework. And especially as you rightly said, purely from a labor perspective as well as from a fintech perspective, how are you planning to take this concept across different geographies? Are you planning to go by yourselves, or are you planning to launch with a partnership? What are your ideas on this?
So we're definitely taking a partnership-driven go-to-market. And that's because the gig worker themselves, you know, if you look at gig working as a pyramid, we spoke about this earlier also, is number of gig workers are at the bottom of the pyramid. And these are your vulnerable, most financially insecure gig workers. And they often are, you know, you don't need any skill to do this gig workers. You know, you just probably need a cycle and a bike and you start doing it from the get-go. And I'm not saying they're not skilled, but the job doesn't require much skill. And they're also the ones that have low bargaining power. Mm-hmm. And then if you go a little bit top, you need to have a bit of skill. You become I'm a designer, graphic designer, I'm a photographer, I'm a gamer. And then you choose that individual skill and then you become a gig worker or freelancer. And then you go a little bit top, you have a very specific niche skill and probably a lot of experience in delivering that skill. You know, you could be a blockchain developer who specifically worked in blockchain, or you could be a consultant working in a specific industry. And then the pyramid stops at the top where you become really an executive level. And that's what we call as fractional executives these days. You know, you could be a fractional CTO, fractional CEO, fractional COO. They pretty much provide their experience in return of a dollar figure per hour or something like that, right? Now, for this pyramid to be able to create trust, to create relationships, it's really important to talk to the people that they are already in building connection with. And that could be communities, existing businesses, existing government departments, and most importantly, the platform that they're already working. So our focus is to nurture and build those relationships and use them as a channel to enter into a market. The second thing that we are also doing is we consider our solution to be a hybrid between traditional finance and decentralized finance. I'm not going to unpack that a lot into the session because people are like, oh my God, this is too much of crypto or not crypto. But there is an infrastructure layer that we are tapping into that is called decentralized finance. The customer wouldn't need to interact with it. It's under the hood. It's for us to create a more scalable, secure, and open, transparent system. There will still be compliant, still be regulated. We'll go with all the regulations that is required to be done, but we will do it in a much more scalable, more cost-efficient way than traditional finance. So it's a traditional part and a decentralized part between. So that gives an advantage.
Bringing tech into that solution.
Yes, yes.
Benji, you talked about the pyramid. I like that particular pyramid. Now, as you rightly said, there are quite a lot of, purely from a bargaining perspective as well as from a skill perspective, they vary very much.
Yes.
Would one platform be able to cater to the needs of the different strata of that particular pyramid?
When you say one platform, are you meaning one platform like MyGigs be able to?
Yeah. So even.
I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. And there's a bit of a user here, right? Like everybody wants to be healthy. And you say, okay, you want to be healthy? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so if you want to be healthy, you got to go to the gym 3 times a week. You got to eat healthy food. Would you do that? Yes, yes, yes. And then you meet them after 10 days or 1 month. It's like, oh, did you go to the gym? It's like, no, no. Did you eat healthy food? No, no, no. So what that means is there is intent. They definitely intend. They do want it to be financially secure. They do want it to not have struggles with cash flow. They don't want to worry about income fluctuation. They don't want to borrow money. So there's good intent. So is that a problem of there is no technology to do it? No, it's, I think the, they would rather have someone do it for them. It's a, it's a done for you kind of value proposition. So where we are focusing is like, okay, treat us like the done for you service. We will do it on your behalf. So we'll become the things that you don't want to do, and we will do it on your behalf. So I think using that as the core ethos of the design of the product, we will be able to facilitate towards the full stack. And obviously, for a lower low, for the below the pyramid, their challenges are different. For example, their challenges are accessing earned wages quickly. I went on Deliveroo today. I did deliveries. I got 500 rupees. I want it right now. You probably have seen, no? Ola drivers don't like you paying. They want cash because Ola takes time to pay. They are daily cash. They need daily cash flow is a problem. So, but you talk to a freelancer designer, it's not that big of a problem. But they might have a cash flow at a monthly level or in a quarterly level, seasonal levels. So we were hoping to cater different needs by helping the solution for them.
Wonderful. Benji, let's move on to the future of work, so to speak, which is very close to my heart. What do you think? Again, we are not being trying to be exact here. Since you are running this particular platform, since you have talked to a lot of folks, what's the kind of a trend that you see, especially with this remote working, OpenAI, and all the Gen AI coming up? What do you think as the future of work? And within that, how do you think your platform will fit in?
I think we are in the timing of this new workforce evolution. And some of the key indicators and trends that we are seeing, we start in MyGigStress with only two type of gig workers, right? Today, MyGigStress have 60 type of gig workers. Half of them, I don't even know it's actually a real job. You can really earn money. That's so fascinating to see how work has been democratized and made it on demand, on access. That's one. Number two, people have realized that flexibility and autonomy and variety challenges are more important to them than working for a company for very long. Back were the days where, you know, you will be really appreciated and acknowledged if you've been working for a company for more than 5 years or 10 years. There's long service awards. If you see someone like a Gen Z and say, and they ask you how long you've been in a company, you say 5 years. Like, is there something wrong with you? So the younger generation are brandless. They wanted to work on exciting projects, impact projects. They wanted to have variety. That being aside, from a work perspective, the economy is also forcing people to pick up jobs at once. You know, across the board, from the US to UK, around Japan and Australia, inflation is high. It's forcing people to, you know, pick up other side hustles and extra jobs and weekend jobs and and they've already realized that remote work is possible. Now they've just, it's just connecting the knots. So we're also, that's probably it's a short-term thing. But what I feel is, one, people realize that they can actually do multiple jobs and still make a really good living. Why would somebody go to one place? You know, if they could, you could be sitting in Mohali and servicing a customer in, you know, in the middle of California and still be able to do good work. And the world becomes your workplace. And so I think the introduction of AI, which you brought, was really good because it is only going to amplify and accelerate the adoption of on-demand talent.
Yeah. You said world is your workplace, and I think that's the right place to end this particular conversation. It's always a joy to speak to a founder who has a very deep understanding of the domain, the problem, and how the future is going to shape up. So it's always a nice thing, Benji. Thank you so much for taking the time. But before you go, I asked three rapid-fire questions to all my guests. Here is the first one. What's the kindest thing anyone has done for you?
Kindest thing that anyone has done for me is telling me that it is okay to fail.
Good. Benji, this podcast is about leadership. In that sense, what is the best leadership quality and who has exhibited you it in your life?
I've been fortunate to work with amazing leaders. The straightforward quote that I get from the best leaders that I work with is, you be strong on things, but soft on people. The leadership's role is to serve and not to be served. So I'm a big believer of servant leadership, and I've been fortunate to have amazing leaders that I worked with, all of them.
Thank you. Finally, what is the definition of living a good life?
Living a good life is actually being in peace with you.
Okay.
Yes, it's very simple. It's, are you really happy and are you at peace? If you are at peace, that means you're having a good life.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Benji, for taking the time. I know it's late in the evening, night in Australia. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, Benji.
No, thank you so much. Really good questions. And I really look forward to more of your episodes coming out and talking more of this conversation. So thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed our conversations. If you liked the conversation, please share the podcast with others. Have a life of wins.